Well, we all know that you can't fool Sunday school kids because they're way too smart. One day, a Sunday school teacher was talking to his class, and he asked them, if I sold my house, sold my car, all my possessions, emptied my bank account, and gave all the money to the church, would I go to heaven? And the kid said, no. Well, if I cleaned up the church, washed the windows, swept the floor, made everything nice and tidy, would I go to heaven? Kids say, no. He said, what if I taught every Sunday school class, served on every church committee, led every small group? Would I go to heaven? No. Well, then, how can I go to heaven? 5-year-old boy raises his hand and says, you got to be dead. Well, we live in a culture that values work, hard work, productivity, good work. Now, we all know from our Bible classes that we're not saved through our good works of going to church and tithing and being on committees. Yet we all believe that the more good that we do, the more work that we do, the more blessing that we'll gain. Now, there's some truth to that, and I have nothing against hard work and serving and doing good. That's what we promote through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when carried to an extreme, it can result in priding ourselves in being busy and lead to burnout or exhaustion. This is never more true than when we approach a season as we are in the Christmas season. And maybe as we've just come into December, you feel like your to-do list has just doubled. And instead of this being a season of peace and joy, the thought of long lines at the store and singing jingle bells for the 1,000th time, for going to another Christmas party, for attending getting ready for finals, having to buy presents for all your friends and send out those Christmas cards, with all of these things to do, maybe the thought of all of this is enough to put a bah humbug on your season of joy. And yet we all desire something different. We hope that our lives, and especially our Christmases, can be a time of peace, a time of joy, a time of quietness, a time of meaningfulness. How can we keep Jesus as the reason for the season, right? How can we keep the Christ in Christmas? That's what we want to focus on this morning and for the next several weeks as well as we approach our holiday of Christmas. And this morning, I want us to focus on that by looking into Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is in the section which many people label as Jesus's ministry on the way to Jerusalem. In chapter 9, verse 51, Luke tells us that Jesus set his eyes on Jerusalem. And so what we have from chapter 9 all the way to chapter 19 is Jesus' teachings, stories of Jesus as he's traveling from Galilee, which was about 80 miles north of Jerusalem, down to Jerusalem. And Luke has just finished listing accounts for us of ministry, of Jesus sending out 72 people to do ministry. And also he's just told us a great works story of the Good Samaritan. And so as we approach verse 38, it's in this context that Luke now tells us this story of Jesus visiting Martha and Mary, and probably also, as we learn from the other Gospels, Lazarus, but it's not listed here, in their hometown. So let's look at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So Luke takes us in to a home. He takes us into the home of Martha and Mary. And we know that Jesus himself went in to the home. That's what Luke tells us. It doesn't appear that the other 72, or maybe he was traveling with the 12. It doesn't appear that he went in there with them. There's actually not a word for home, but the word in the original language was welcome. And it has more of a sense of entertain, to host a guest. So here we are. We're in the home of Mary and Martha. And hospitality was very important in the Jewish culture, because as we learned from Psalm 23, that people traveled a lot in Palestine, and it was kind of deserty. And so as you came into a home, it was very important for the host to jiao dai, right? That's the Chinese word, to entertain, to host them, and because you might be welcoming angels into your house. And so this is the context that we have for Martha and Mary. And so we can understand that Martha was very concerned, very anxious about welcoming Jesus into her house, because she wanted to host him well. And we see that in verse 40. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" Tell her then to help me. So Martha was distracted by all of her serving, all of the serving that needed to be done. And this was the root problem that Martha had, being distracted with all of the serving. And then look at the consequences. Look at the results of this distraction. We see that, first of all, she complains. She blames that the Lord doesn't care. "Lord, do you not care?" And then she starts to accuse others. "Don't you care? My sister left me to serve alone." And then she moves from blaming the Lord and blaming others to demanding. Interesting that she calls him Lord, but she says, "Tell her then, you know, I'm the boss here. Lord and Jesus, tell Mary to help me." So we have Martha moving from blaming the Lord, accusing others, to demanding of the Lord. And again, we can understand this because what Martha is facing is something that's very urgent. And it's the urgency of the situation is screaming at her. Again, we've said that hospitality was very important because she had a lot to do. She had a lot of serving. The word there is she was distracted with much serving. Polein dikaonion. Polein, that's where we get words like polytheism, polygamy, right? So much diakonion. That's where we get our word deacon, right? So we got a lot of serving that we have to do. We just have to do it because we remember that, okay, we have Jesus. He's traveling in the desert here from Galilee, and he made his way all the way down to Bethany. We know from John 11, a lot of traveling, and he's probably weary and tired, and we got to host him well. I mean, it would be like, what if I told you that the president was coming over to your house for Thanksgiving dinner? What would you do? Now you say, okay, well, it depends if you're talking about the current president or the president-elect, right? What would I do? Okay, no, we're not going to get it. We talked about politics 2 weeks ago. Okay, but what would you do? Would you prepare a ham sandwich for the president, Sam? Thanksgiving dinner? Yeah, I didn't know I'm prepare a ham. You're going to be... Brother, you're going to be playing, watching YouTube videos the whole day before he comes? I mean, you're going to just be sitting around playing computer games? Oh, I don't know if I want you hosting my president. Okay, so, no, you got the president traveling from Washington, D.C., coming into your house. You got a lot of serving you want to do. No, you want to go to the supermarket, buy that turkey, cook up those mashed potatoes, clean the house. Put on your best clothes, right? Got a lot to do. And so we can understand that the urgency of the situation is screaming at Martha to do. And so, as we seek to keep the Christ in Christmas, one of the first things we need to do is realize that the urgent will scream. The urgent is going to scream at you. And it was screaming at Martha. I got King Jesus. She didn't quite know that it was King Jesus, maybe fully at the time, but this is greater than the president, right? He's coming to my house. I got to get all this stuff ready. And so this urgency is screaming at you. And so as you are approaching Christmas or a busy season in life, remember that the urgent is going to scream at you. It's going to call for your attention. So expect that. Have you been hearing the screams of the urgent already? I have. Just 2 nights ago, I heard the screams once again coming from my toilet. Gurgling. Friday night. You know what that's a sign of? I've got a problem in my main line. I told you 2 months ago about my problem, right? I got my own basket of deplorables coming up onto my shower floor and into my bathtub. Well, this is urgent. I mean, I'm a former missionary. I can deal with a lot, but you know, undesirables in my shower. Even me, I got to take care of it. I got gallons of water pouring out the side of my house because my hot water heater's got something wrong with it. I got gallons of water pouring out. I got children whose bikes need fixing. Parents whose wheelchairs need fixing. I got a lot of urgent things going on. Maybe you do too. Got finals coming up. Got another company party to go to. Got a lot of things to get ready for Christmas. So how are you going to handle the urgency screaming at you? The first thing we need to do is realize that the urgent will scream at us. Expect it. expect the urgent to scream at us. But as we approach this time of Christmas, let us also reserve time for the Lord. Let's reserve time for the Lord. Look, if you will, in verse 41. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." We want to reserve time for the Lord. Why? Because He cares and He understands. The Lord cares and understands. There in that verse, the Lord talks to Martha and He says, "Martha, Martha." And by repeating the name twice, He's communicating a sense of care, of warmth, of compassion to Martha's situation. Just like if I was to say, "John, John, Emily, Emily." You know, it kind of calms the situation and it communicates that, "Hey, I care about you." But also the Lord understands. If you look in that verse, the Lord zeroes in on Martha's situation. And He says, "You are anxious and troubled about many things." See, Martha thought, what did Martha think the problem was? Martha thought the problem was the Christmas season, right? The circumstance. "Oh, I got so many things I have to do. That's my problem. If it just Jesus wasn't here visiting me, I wouldn't be in this big mess." You know? Or she thinks the problem is with God. "God, don't you care?" You know? "God doesn't care about me." Or she thinks the problem with other people. That's that lazy, lazy bum Mary. She got to get off her bottom and come out and help some. But the Lord, He understands accurately what's going on. He knows that it's not so much the circumstance or other people, but He knows that it's how Mary interacts. Martha's inner world, how she reacts, how she responds to the stress, to the circumstance in her life. So the Lord understands. And because the Lord cares, because the Lord understands, we are then moved to approach Him, to focus on Him, to spend time with Him. Don't you appreciate it when people care and for and understand you? When they communicate that care and understanding, "Hey, I know it's a busy time. You're anxious about all that you have to do. I understand that." I really appreciate that when people communicate understanding to me, and I want to be around those people. I want to tell those people my problems. So because the Lord cares and understands us, let us approach Him. Let us focus on Him. Let us spend time with Him. Now me, I tell you, I am limited in my care and understanding. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I just don't get it. You know, I just don't get it. Okay? On a scale from 1 to 100, I don't know. I'm probably about a 70 or so in terms of my skill, in terms of understanding. But the Lord, on the scale from 1 to 100, where is He? Infinity. Right? The Lord is infinity on the scale from 0 to 100. In Psalm 136:1 in the New American Standard, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Not because we feel good, right, Brother John? "For His loving kindness is infinity." Okay, that's the Wei Lim translation. Everlasting, same thing, right? "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite from here to infinity." As my good friend Buzz Lightyear said. Okay, so So we are moved to spend time with the Lord because He cares infinity. He understands infinity. And also, we want to reserve time for the Lord because it's primary, profitable, and protected. All right, now let me unpack that for us here. In verse 42, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Verse 42, the first part, he's after he's communicated understanding and care to Martha, he then moves to truth. He then moves to instruction and he says, hey, look, Martha, only one thing is necessary. There's only one sine qua non. There's only one non-negotiable. And if your focus is getting off Jesus, getting off God while you're busy doing all these things, then and you have to choose, then choose being with me. That's the only thing that's necessary. That's the primary. That's the essential. That's the non-negotiable. Then he says it's profitable. He says Mary, he illustrates it through Mary. Mary has chosen the good portion. And finally, it's secure or it's permanent, which will not be taken away from her. So friends, any time during this Christmas season that you are able to spend time with the Lord, focus on the Lord, then it will be primary. It's profitable and it won't be taken away. So it's protected or permanent. My mom, back before she had Alzheimer's, she was a master investor. And she would invest finances. And she'd always look for those stocks or bonds that gave a high yield, but was pretty secure. Now, that's hard to find because you can buy a junk bond and maybe 10% yield, but you don't know if the principal will still be there. Well, now, if you put it in a safety deposit box, you know, you put your money in the safety deposit box, you know, it's protected. You're going to be able to get it back, but it's not going to earn you any yield. Well, the Lord has investments that are high in return and are secure. It can't be taken away from us. So, friends, any time that we spend time with Him, we don't lose out. It's worth the investment. Rich dividends are paid. Now, how can we do some of this? Well, I just want to encourage you that as you approach this season, to take time out to just sit at the Lord's feet. You know, that was the position of the disciple. We're just going to sit for a little. We're going to sit at the Lord's feet and drink in His words. And so, as you're going throughout your life, take regular time out. Now, I have a great job. I can focus on the Lord. That's what I'm paid to do, right? I'm paid to focus on the Lord. And so, I can sit in my office and just drink in the words of the Lord. I can sit in my chair, in my home. I got a great chair that I can just sit in and focus in on the Lord. Okay? I don't know if you have that at your work, but maybe at a lunch break or before you get to work, you can just take some time out. Now, you got to be careful where you choose. If you want to choose the sofa or the bed, it might, you know, you might be falling asleep. And we don't want to fall asleep, right? So you got to be careful on the place that you choose here. All right. But maybe, or else maybe you want to take a retreat and go off and just focus on the Lord, as I told you. OK, but I think part of what we want to do is as we're going throughout life, whatever we do, and as one great artist has illustrated for us, you know, we want to just keep Jesus at the center of the Christmas presents. We want to keep Jesus as the center of the transition committee, of the STL, of the worship team, of the Q&A session, of the youth minister search meeting, of the senior pastor search meeting, of all these meetings. We're going to be so dizzy busy. You know, we even got a church name like that after that in Dallas. It's called Dizzy Busy Church. Dizzy Busy Church. That's right. You know, we Chinese, we love acronyms. DCBC. Dallas Chinese Bible Church. We always call it the Dizzy Busy Church because you're always dizzy busy. DCBC. Okay? But the key is that in all that we do, whether it's job and school or music and sports and family, laundry, friends, church, buying Christmas presents, sending out Christmas cards, giving to this guy, giving to that guy, feeding the homeless, we want to keep Jesus as the focus and the center of it. And that if we are being distracted by the polling, dikaianon, by all the much serving that I just got to do, you know, maybe we should just say no! And pull out for a while and say, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. And so, that's right, now I'm going to get in trouble. You heard it from the pastor. It's okay to say no. I'm going to get in trouble. Hey, brother, can you teach Sunday school? Well, brother, wait, you just told me that I got to sit at the feet of Jesus, not be too much servant. And no. It's okay. You know what, brothers? We just canceled the Christmas Eve service. What? That's right. That's what we did. Because we're kind of too dizzy busy. When we were so busy doing all these things for Christmas that we said, and then, you know, I'm not going to be here. So-and-so's not going to be here. We're low on that. We said, you know, we're going to be so dizzy busy that we just decided we're not going to do it so that people can truly focus on Jesus during Christmas. I mean, what's Christmas supposed to be about anyway? So brothers and sisters, I think the key is focusing on Jesus in all that we do. But if we can't, let's just pull away for a brief time. It's okay. Spend time at the feet of Jesus, focusing on Him. So will you do that? Just as you're going through life, just take little respites here and there in the activity in of itself. Now you may take time focusing on the Lord. Now you may say to me, Brother Wei, focus, spending time, you know, going on a retreat, hanging out with Jesus. I can't do that. Okay. Maybe you haven't had much practice in that. So start small. Just start with 10 minutes, 15 minutes and build up to it. You may say, Brother Wei, I don't like that thought. That's too threatening to me to sit alone with Jesus. I mean, sitting alone with Jesus is like going to visit the spiritual dentist. OK, he's going to find out all the cavities in my life and then he's going to extract them and it's going to be painful. Well, I just want to encourage you that, yes, I acknowledge that some of us, we like being busy. We like, you know, running around. What running around? I don't have to think about my life. But if I slow down and I think about what's going on in my life, I take inner stock, that can be threatening. But I just want to encourage you. And it's not easy for me. Sometimes I'd rather be dizzy, dizzy. Because I don't have to think about my life. But just sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen into His words. And He cares. He understands. It will be worth the investment. All right. So friends, let that be the exhortation. If you take one thing away, the one thing, just reserve time for Jesus in your activities and even pulling out if you need to recalibrate, refocus on Him. Now, I had a friend who was learning Chinese and she was just starting off and she would go up to people and she would say, Wahan man, Wahan man. And that's the Chinese word for slow. Okay, so she was going up to people saying, "I'm slow," you know, and they were kind of confused. They didn't know what she was talking about, because what she was really trying to say was, "我很忙," which is I'm busy. But she was saying, I'm very slow. What are you trying to say? You kind of slow of learning or something like that? Well, friend, this Christmas, I want you to be slow. Don't be mong, be mon. Slow down. Realize that the urgent will scream at you. But as it screams at you, reserve time. Focus on the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we just give you thanks because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy, Lord, for us to spend time with. And we just thank you that anything we give to you, it will not return void, but that you will surely bless us. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part, the better part. It won't be taken from her. We thank you for that promise. Help us, Lord, to keep the Christ in Christmas, not only for this season, but for all the days of our life. In his name we pray.